So I'm excited to share with you today, and just want to build off of some things that God is doing. If you weren't able to attend, I want to remind you, life groups are happening. They just started this last week. We had a message released in the life groups called The Courage to Let Go of Your Past. The Courage to Let Go of Your Past. And it was a powerful, powerful message just about what God can do with redeemed past. What God does when he takes somebody's past, no matter how horrible, no matter how tragic, and begins to breathe his life and his truth on it, he does amazing things. And so if you haven't heard that message, it's available on the website under Ministries and Life Groups. You can listen to it. But don't just, let's challenge you. Don't just go every week. You just got the secret. The message will be available after the life groups happen. But don't just go online every week and listen to that message. Go get involved in a life group. Do life with each other. Because I know for a fact, when that message was released, when we talked through that this week, there was breakthrough. People getting together, praying, saying, you know what, man, I've had these issues, I've had this hurt, and God's beginning to stir it up, and you pray together, you do life together. The Bible says don't neglect meeting together, and I don't think that's just in groups of 400. I think that's in life groups, in homes, around a dinner table. Do life together. Be real with each other. So get involved in a life group this week, because this week's message actually is from Todd White, that crazy dreadlocked hippie that Pastor Richard was talking about. He's an amazing guy, loves Jesus. By the way, I'm so grateful for Pastor Richard and Peggy being here with us. That's so awesome. I've heard they're amazing, amazing grandparents with those little grandkids. So really excited to have you guys here. In fact, Pastor Richard and I were talking a few times. I think he's heard me speak in this church more than he's heard Pastor Thomas. Because every time he's here, it's because they're doing something or something else is going on. But he's an encouragement to have, very encouraging. So, well, let me pray, and then I'm going to dive into what I feel like God has for us today to connect to some of what was shared in life groups this week. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful. You're here. We don't need to invite you because you're here. We're so grateful for you coming to dwell with your people. Coming in, we come into your presence, Lord, and you inhabit the praises of your people. You come down. You're God with us, and we're so grateful, Lord, that you're with us, you're in us, you're working in the details, you're drawing us to yourself today, Lord. We just release this time. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come in greater power, greater weight of your glory, greater breakthrough today, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's 11:01. So I'm just going to tell you guys right now, I'm going to do my best to keep this focused because I believe what's most important is what God wants to do in ministry in response to this message today as we dive into this. But I want to start with reading a passage that kind of, it's a passage we've all heard many, many times, and I think there's a reason we've heard it. It's in Romans 8, 29 through 37. I'm just going to read through this because it really talks about what God does in our lives through the challenges of life. It says this. Romans 8, 29 through 37. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say to such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Overwhelming victory. You know, I believe we read this often and we see this in little memes and pictures on Facebook because we constantly need to be reminded because the truth is, it says in there, who will accuse us? Oftentimes we feel accused. He's like, no one, but you feel that. Who will condemn us? How many of you have felt condemned? The Bible says, and he's telling you, no, you are not condemned. No one can condemn you. The enemy tries to accuse and condemn. He is the accuser of the brethren. but it cannot stick to those who trust in the blood of Jesus. But how often, when we forget that truth, those things have an impact on us. Condemnation, accusation. And then it says in there, these things like trouble, pain, stress, hardship can't separate us from God's love. But how many of you have felt like those things have separated you at times from God's love? I have. Like, God, why is this thing happening to me? That those kind of questions come up. They kind of are a response to the challenges and the pain we face in life. Because the reality is, we have troubles, don't we? Jesus said it. He said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, I want to talk today about when we've faced these things, feelings of accusation, condemnation, pain, trouble, stress. What do we do? And what we do, in fact, you guys have heard it said, it's not what happens to you that determines your future, it's what you do with it or how you respond to it. Have you guys ever heard that? I think it's very, very true. Pain is constant. Pain is a reality of life. Trouble happens in life. Pain, it can be an amazing opportunity for breakthrough, but it can also be, it's one of our greatest opportunities for halting or separating ourselves from God as well. It can be both. And you know, the pain of this world tends to leave a mark. And I want to talk about emotional wounds. I want to talk about emotional wounds. And what I mean by that is places in your life where pain has left a permanent mark. Where something has happened to you, whether it was of your own decisions, kind of the outcome of your own decisions, or something done to you that left a mark, that just is a place of pain. It's a place where the troubles of life really did some damage. Things like rejection. You know, love is our greatest need. Rejection is our greatest hurt. Rejection, failure, whether it's moral or parental failure. Maybe there was a abuse, sexual, mental, emotional, spiritual abuse. There's all these areas, betrayal, infidelity, all these areas we deal with in this fallen world. Sometimes it's tragedy, loss of a loved one, or things that happen to you, personal injury. And sometimes it's even smaller things that leave wounds. Maybe it's something someone said at a moment in life. Sometimes there are things that happened on the playground years and decades ago, but they still affect us. It comes back to your memory. An emotion rises up when another circumstance triggers it. There's these places where there's marks. And I believe what limits us more than anything else in our lives, in our walk with the Lord, and in what He's called us to do, is our unhealed wounds. Areas that we've not allowed God's healing power to begin to work in. Sometimes the areas we don't even know how much it's really affecting us because we've pushed it down for so long. Those are the areas I believe God, the truth is you will always grow to the place of your unhealed wounds and then stop. You always grow only to that place. And this may not be in every area of life. You can see someone doing great in one area, but there's just this issue in their family life, or they're great in other people, but with their parents, they just have this issue and they can never get over it, and they don't, or with authority figures. And you see other areas where they've stopped. They've hit a wound and they don't want to go past it. And they don't want to we are afraid of it. It hurts, so we don't want to go there and we don't want to face it. And we don't want to let God deal with it because it hurts. There's pain. And when I think about those things, it brings pain. And one of our greatest desires as human beings is to avoid pain. We don't like things exposed. I mean, I have four boys, and I'll tell you what, one of their greatest fears is getting a Band-Aid taken off. I mean, come on, like, we don't like anybody to mess with our wounds, right? And you're like, don't touch it, you know, like, but I think as adults, we're the same way when people start meddling. When a preacher gets up and starts calling things out, you're like, ooh, man, that kind of stings a little bit. And we want to hide these things, especially the sad thing is from one another in the body of Christ. We hide these things. I mean, and then they want to take it off slow, you know, like this, like the whole Band-Aid, like just take it off. And that would, and but we tend to dwell and protect and put barriers around these areas of our life because we're afraid. I mean, just last night, I just had this thought. I had one of my sons, he's a Band-Aid guy. He just wants Band-Aids for everything, you know, like, And he had a Band-Aid coming loose, but I can't take that Band-Aid off and put a new one on. So he wanted me to put a new Band-Aid over the old Band-Aid to hold it down because we just need some more Band-Aids over these Band-Aids. They're getting old. It's been through a shower. Like, take the Band-Aid off. No, but just put another one over it. Come on. How often do we add a layer to protect ourselves? Because we don't want someone to go there. We don't want God we don't want to have to feel pain. In most of our life, we're trying to avoid pain. And these areas get knotted up in us. Another good analogy is like a rope with knots in it. Knots weaken a rope. And you can have an issue. You're pulling something through. And I remember, like, I'll be pulling like an extension cord out of my garage, and it just gets knotted up, and it just catches on something. It would have gone past just fine, except for there was a knot way down the way. I'm like, where is that coming from? You know, and you've never done that before. Like, lost your temper with, okay, maybe just me. I'll tell you what, how many times I've done counseling with people where it's going fine, all of a sudden you hit the knot. And they're like, ooh. And here's what I want to talk about today. I can tell someone the truth of God over and over and over again. I can say, no, that's not who you are. That's not what God says about you. He didn't make that happen. Or I can say all these things as truth over and over. And we can do weekly counseling sessions for the next decade, and it doesn't leave, the truth doesn't penetrate. Because there's a barrier. The only way we allow it is to let God, let the Holy Spirit speak into that moment. And I'll tell you something I learned, so valuable, is in those moments now, I've learned, I could go blue in the face telling people the truth of God's word, but if I step back and say, God, I pray that you begin to speak to this person in this place, if they're willing to face it and submit it to the Lord. Some people won't go there. They're not ready to go there. Like, nope, we're not talking about that. We're not going to go there. I'm not going to deal with that. But when you begin to face something and you begin to say, God, I see it, I feel it, I see what this is doing to me, and I'm ready to give it to you, he begins to say, okay, now let me tell you what I think about you in that area. Let me tell you my thoughts about you in that past pain, in that memory, and let me begin to untangle the knot. Let me do the job. Let me take the Band-Aid off so it can be exposed to the truth of God and be healed. And what does a scar, what does a wound become? It becomes a scar. And scars are healed wounds. They're testimonies. I was hurt. I was wounded. I'm pointing because I have a scar on my wrist. People always ask me about, like, well, what happened? And every scar, I had a surgery because I had something down in my joint that was really painful. And people are like, what happened? And then the scar brings out a story, doesn't it? Well, so I'm not afraid to show off my scar because now it's a story, it's a testimony. And if you're a guy, guys like to show off their scars. Like, well, I did this right here when I was like riding a bull with one hand while drinking a Coke, and you know, like, come on, we like to show off our scars, but we don't like to show off our weaknesses and our wounds. We don't want to be vulnerable. Don't touch me there. But in that place where I've been hurt. But God's calling us to expose those things to the Holy Spirit, to the truth of God's word, to let Jesus do a work in our hearts so that that becomes not a wound that inhibits you, that keeps you from growing, but a testimony that you grow past and you help others who have that same challenge, that same problem. That's the power of testimony. That's the power of a wound healed by God's truth, by his will. Pain is the greatest enemy of growth and the greatest opportunity for growth. You look at the story of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was, if you don't know, he was kind of a cocky young guy, but he had some dreams. He had a lot of potential. God was working in his life, showing him some things he was going to be. And he began to kind of try to step out, and he was boasting about that. But things began to happen in his life. A lot of things happened to him. He was a victim. He was betrayed by his brothers, abandoned, sold into slavery. Then in a place where he was doing his best to work his hardest, he was lied about, falsely accused, thrown into prison. Over and over and over again, victim, victim, victim. And in our culture, man, that kind of person, we would say, man, they would be a mess. They'd be bitter. They'd be enraged. They'd be out for vengeance against those brothers. And when, man, if he had all those things still as wounds and not healed by God, when he got that position, now I believe, first of all, I don't think he ever would have got that position as second in command over Egypt had he not been healed. But had he got that position with all those wounds, what would he have done to all those brothers back there? He had an army at his disposal. Go wipe them out. Bring my dad, bring my mom, wipe out all those guys. Men, women, and children. That's what vengeance, bitterness, and unforgiveness would do. But a healed heart, what does he say? Let's see here. I think I have it in my notes. Yes, in Genesis 50:20, he says, "You intended," his brothers came to him, "you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." That's crazy. All for good. The prison, the false accusations, the being thrown in a pit, the abandonment, all of it God used for good. He doesn't leave any hurt, any wound untouched, unhealed, and then he uses all of it for good. What an amazing God. Only God can do that. He brought me into this position so I could save the lives of many people. Instead of coming into a position where he was going to have the power to wipe out his enemies, wipe out his brothers, he used that moment to save his family and save a nation. Because that's what healed people can do. That's what healed people can do. Hurt people, healed people, heal people. God wants you healed. But in order to be healed, you have to face. You have to face. You have to be willing to go there. And Jesus understands what it means to be wounded. We don't serve an unscarred Savior. When he was resurrected, he went to his disciples, and what did he say? He didn't say, "Look at how cool my new restored body is. Look how they just, like, the scars are all gone. It's all perfect." He said, "No, I still got my scars." Resurrected Jesus in heaven has scars that he bears for you and for me. We have a scarred Savior that understands what it means to be wounded, what it means to be rejected, what it means to be mocked, what it means to be betrayed by your best friends. He knows. And because he knows, the Bible says in Hebrews 2, 9 and 10, he says, "What do we see? What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory." Listen to this. "And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation." See, we can relate to Jesus, and he can relate to us. People want a leader that understands them, that understands where they've been, that's been there, and he's been there. Not only that, but completely to the point of drinking the wrath of God, the judgment of God that we deserved, taking it into himself for us. So he understands what we've gone through and more, and more. So you can always, when you ask God, you might, the question, "Why, God?" may not get answered till heaven. But to say, "God, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I'm coming to you anyway because I know I cannot, you're not the problem, you're the answer." I'm not going to shake my fist at you and say, "Why, God?" I'm going to say, "God, I don't know. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Jesus, come, help me." See, in the amazing thing about God is he uses that pain to refine us, to work in us, to refine us, like 1 Peter 1 says, like gold being refined in the fire. Some of the greatest leaders, some of the greatest speakers are those who have gone through the greatest pain. They have a lot of wounds, but they're healed. They're now scars. They're testimonies. And you've got the same potential, every one of us. If we allow God to deal with those pains and not hide them, not nurse them, not keep the Band-Aid on, that feeble attempt to protect it from getting hurt, expose it to God's truth and let him begin to work in your life. And you know what God does with people that are surrendered to him? When you trust him, no matter what pain you've been through, and there's some of you have been through some really, really difficult pain, and things have been done to you that should never be done to anyone in any way. There's no, it's not right. It doesn't make it okay. But when you surrender to him and say, "God, here's who I am, broken, hurting, wounded," and you surrender to him, God, here's what God does. What Satan meant for evil, just like in Job's life or in Joseph's life, God redeems and restores. And he only allows the enemy, listen to this, to accomplish the exact opposite of what he tried to do to you. See, he told God, if I do all these things to Job, he's going to curse you to your face. And what happened? The opposite. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And in that moment, breakthrough, blessing, healing, the testimony of Job's life is still speaking today because of his response to the Lord. And it speaks to us, and we understand what he went through. And we're like, man, if he can go through that and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, then I can go through this, and I can say, blessed be your name. I trust you, Jesus. I want to be healed, and I want to be able to then be open to share my testimony with the world and kick the devil in the teeth for what he tried to do to me to take me out. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when you get healed, you become an agent of life, of breakthrough, of blessing. And you stomp the head of that serpent. Amen? That's what God wants for every single one of us. Amen. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I want to share with you some steps, just real briefly. I believe God wants to have us go there in some areas today. And you know, when you start talking about these areas, your pain, your story is unique. I don't know what you've been through. But God knows, Jesus knows, and he has a way of working in every single one of our lives. Every person here has a different story. But I believe in every single one of us, we all need freedom in some area. God, there's always deeper ways he wants to deal in my life and set me free and heal me so that I can be a testimony, so that I can be full of his love. And I want to give you some steps to what I would say God wants to do for emotional healing. The first, number one, is make Jesus Lord of your pain. Make Jesus Lord of your pain. When Jesus touches pain, it doesn't get worse, it goes away. But he can't touch it till he's Lord of it. He's not going to force himself on you. I don't grab my sons, pin him down, and rip that Band-Aid off. I say, okay, you can leave it a few more days if you want to. Eventually, there's a time where God, in his mercy, he gets in there. And you know what? The important thing is that we allow God, we surrender, we say, you know, some of us, we've surrendered our hearts to God, but we haven't surrendered our pain. We've made Jesus Lord of our life. We want the ticket to heaven, but we have said, Lord, you can't have all this. That's my pain. I'm holding on to it. I'm protecting it. And people have hit it in the past and it hurts. So if you touch that, I'm afraid it's going to hurt. You have to make Jesus Lord of your pain. The second thing is you have to make God's word the supreme truth over your issues. You got to make God's word the supreme truth because every pain is the problem was not the pain. Listen to me. The problem was the enemy puts a message in the pain. When something happens at home and maybe a father walks out, he says, you're not worth it. You're not loved. He embeds something into that wound. The problem is not the pain. We have troubles in life. The problem is, which message are we going to believe? And God can't heal a wound until we allow the stronghold of the lie to be taken out, removed, and let his truth begin to be applied to that experience, that situation. I've seen it over and over again with people when I'm counseling people. They're dealing with an issue maybe of mistrust in their marriage, and it all goes back to something that happened in their childhood where they were abandoned. And they cannot trust today because of this issue. But when you go back and you deal with the lie that you were unwanted, the lie that you weren't worth your dad staying home, and you begin to, Jesus said, I want you. And I don't do this. The Lord does this. He will speak to that person and say, I want you. You're valued. You're loved. And that lie is removed. The truth is applied and healing begins. And that, this is amazing. Jesus is the only one that can do this. He died on the cross, and you know how he died on the cross and he saved everybody before the cross? He saved everybody today and everybody to come. The same thing happens with pain. When he deals with pain, he can go back into the past, decades back, and he can heal a memory, a thought, a pain, and he can do it in a way that's going to affect today and affect your future so that you can become a powerful, mighty man or woman of God and fulfill the destiny God has on your life. But you got to allow him to go there. Allow his word to be the supreme truth. Forgive. Forgive anyone that's hurt you in any way. Some of you guys today, a major issue for many, many people is father wounds. And God wants, and it doesn't mean our fathers were imperfect, but there were messages the enemy put about us with mistakes that were made or with things that were said that we begin to believe, lies we believe. And it makes it difficult for us to connect with our Heavenly Father because of wounds of our past. And God wants to heal him today. Forgive anyone that's hurt you. Find people with redeemed pain to help you and hold you accountable. Find people who have been through what you've been through and say, here's where I'm at. Be open, be honest, be real. And let them walk with you and begin to share God's love with you and pray with you. And then the last thing you do is surrender your scars to the ministry, to be a testimony for others. Say, God, if you, as you deal with me, as you heal me, I'm going to share it with others. I'm gonna display my scars to the world and say, I was a scarred, messed up person. I was hurt. The enemy tried to take me out, but my God is greater. He is for me. He is with me, and his love never failed me, not once, not once. God wants to heal people today. Would you guys stand with me? I just believe that God wants to do some work in some lives today. Some of you guys, maybe you have a lot of pain, and that pain is what has kept you from even surrendering your heart to Jesus in the first place. You're here, but you really don't know the Lord. You don't know the goodness. You don't know what's available to you by surrendering your heart to Jesus. And he's calling out to you right now. Your heart is stirring. It's not just your pain that you need to surrender. It's your life. He's calling some of you and saying, for the first time ever, say, God, I realize you want it all. And when I give it all to you, I'm free. I'm set free. I'll be healed, set free, strengthened, and begin to become the person you've called me to be. Some of you guys, God's calling you. Your heart is beating faster because he's calling you into his family. He's calling you to be adopted as sons and daughters. And then in that place, the pain, he's going to deal with that. He's going to set you free. But it starts with giving him your heart, giving him control. If that's you, just raise your hand. Look up at me and raise your hand. Anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God sets people free in so many ways. And some of the rest of you, I believe there's two areas I feel like the Lord wants to deal with. And the first one is fear. Fear is such a hindrance, such a stronghold for so many. Fear of man, fear of abandonment, fear of failure. God wants to deal with your fear that's connected to some past failure or something that the enemy called failure. He said that you messed that up. Maybe some of you, you're the father that walked out because you couldn't handle it. And that's the second area I believe God wants to touch on is shame. Fear and shame. Two of the biggest strongholds, I believe, that hold back the people of God from becoming who God called them to be. Shame of what you've done, or shame of things that have been done to you, where the enemy implanted a lie and said, you weren't worth it. That happened to you because you were asking for it some way. It's a lie. Shame. Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you begin to open our hearts. Lord, peel back our feeble band-aids of what we have tried to protect these pains and these wounds from you, God. I pray that you begin to work right now. Holy Spirit, rest heavy on your people. As a great physician, we silence the voice of the enemy, the accuser, and the liar right now that he cannot speak into these places any longer. And the truth of God, the truth of who you are, God, that you are for us, not against us. You've been with us from the beginning. That truth, God, would begin to settle in, that you love us, that you died on the cross for us, that how much, you will never hold anything back from us, God. You've given it all. You've done it all. And if we would just open our hearts to you, God, we'll be healed, set free. So we bind the spirit of fear. We bind the spirit of fear. That spirit that's standing in the promised land telling you can't have it. That's standing in your future telling you won't be able to get there. We bind that spirit in Jesus' name. That the past will be healed. The hindrances and the weights will be thrown off. So that the people of God can run the race that God's called them to run. And fulfill the destiny that God's called them to fulfill on this earth. be broken in Jesus' name. Shame, be broken in Jesus' name, that keeps us from running to the source of freedom, to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that keeps us from running boldly into the throne room of God. Shame, be cast down. We bind you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray that you speak your word of truth to each heart right now. Whatever they need to hear from you, Holy Spirit, Jesus, would you enter those memories? Undo the knot, speak truth. Your love, your affirmation, your freedom into those moments right now and bring healing. Wounds are being healed, becoming scars and becoming testimonies right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I get the prayer and ministry team to come up front? We're going to close with a song of praise. And you guys, we've done this song before, Reckless Love. Just reminding ourselves that God's love, it's His love. It's the truth of His love that sets us free. You are valued. You are loved. You are adopted. You are worth it. So let's sing this song together. If you need prayer for anything, any stronghold, any issue, this is where we get real. This is where we get honest. And maybe you feel like God's stirring something in your heart, but you want to come forward and just have someone stand with you and pray with you through this moment. I want to encourage you to come up, even during this song. Even during this song, come forward. Or maybe you just need to leave that fear back into your chair and get before God right now. Get before God this morning and let Him begin to set you free in a new way. Throw off the things that have entangled you, the weights that have held you back, and run into the presence of God and worship Him this morning. So let's worship together. Come up for prayer if you need it, and then I'm going to come up and close us and release you. Let's worship.